664, Slide American State Trials, 1918, Volume X, Leo Frank Document. Here is the translated text as follows. 632X, American State Trials. On the next Wednesday, the 13th, he walked up to the mayor's desk. I said, "What do you want?" He replied, "You are trifling with me. I have given you reasonable time. Now I will give you until Friday. If this thing has not been done, I will expose you and the whole of it." The thing of getting Mrs. Hirsch out of town. I said, "That is not an easy job, separating a man from his wife." He said, "I will take the blame," and I told him to go. I then immediately communicated with Mr. Arnold, and I told him to do what he was going to do to prosecute the case immediately. Mr. Cooper. I object to that and move to rule out the communication between lawyer and client, the advice he gave. It is against public policy. The Court. Objection overruled. Cross-examined. I don't remember saying to Mrs. Hirsch that the picture would not be complete unless she was in it, or telling her to come beside me. I don't remember seeing this picture before. That is my picture beside Mrs. Hirsch, taken in September 1917. There are two men standing there, General Swift and young Willis Timmons, president of the Rotary Club, who presided over the meeting. I did not say anything to Mrs. Hirsch that caused her to come to my side. I didn't have anything to do with arranging the picture. I have no recollection of removing a badge from my coat and presenting it to Mrs. Hirsch. I don't believe I did, but I might have. I remember she told me her physician advised her she would have to go to the hospital. That was before Christmas. I didn't see her then until January, when I met her on the street. She spoke to me as she came out of the Candler building. I don't think my hand was on her shoulder. I might have told her I was glad to see her. It would have been courtesy to have said something of the kind. She visited my private office in the Candler building before the 1st of January, not since she came out of the hospital. She visited it once or twice on Red Cross missions. I never took liberties with her. I never kissed her and hugged her. I never tried to persuade her to have intercourse with me on any occasion. I took no liking to the woman. She was pleasant and attractive. Both times she was wanting me to assist in these things I have just told you. I never told her she was the main woman in the Red Cross mission, or the best worker. I think I said something about her working too much, and that she had worked herself down. It would have been natural for me to have said so when she told me she was going to a hospital. I never made a speech at her request at some club about raising money. I did not introduce her. I introduced Mrs. Atkinson, and Mrs. Atkinson introduced Mrs. Hirsch. I did not say in introducing her to the Rotary Club, "This young woman is the flower of Southern womanhood." I made an engagement with her to come to my office on February 6th at 4 o'clock. No one was in my office when she came. I did not lock the door when she came in. The door was shut. There is a ledge to my window outside so one could walk around. There are